All righty.
All right.
A little chilly. But get next to the one you're with.
Dynamite.
Let's see the Tasmanian Warthog.
All right. We're just about ready now.
We're
just about there. Somewhere in between Susie Cream Cheese and Zubin Mehta, something happened.
You are a mongoloid.
Hello. Tell me, Miss Presky, how do you feel?
Fine, Mr. Goodman.
Get your heads out of the way.
People, please sit down.
Sit down.
Nice work!
A series of older songs.
Thank you. We's ready.
Dick, Dick. Gentlemen. brothers, ladies and gentlemen. My three brothers, Rudolph, Olaf, Rudolph, and Jackoff. Now we're going to perform a trick for you that's been passed down from the centuries of Santini brothers. And Frank didn't even know that we have this together. Frank, tonight we are going to perform the world famous Santini brothers pyramid trick. I know how bad you need it, you lonely guy, but right now we're going to do a performance. The world famous pyramid trick. Four high. Seven high. My brother, Jackoff, forms what is commonly known in show business as the Hulk. Jackoff. Huff, see it.
I'm a stranger. stuck in between the moisture cream and velvet facial lotion. Never tell your kids you're glad that they can think. Never say you love them. Never let them watch you drink.
Human beings. You get to be the second batch of guinea pigs. Now, the problem with this item is that it's very complicated. This is a story about Billy the Mountain Man. It takes about 20 minutes to a half an hour to tell this story in its complete form. And this is not the ideal conditions under which to perform such an event. If there was ever a place where it was going to sound rancid, it would be here. We might as well find out how bad it's going to sound.
Sounds fine.
So that you'll be able to understand what the story is while we're performing it, I'll tell you the whole business in advance. There's this mountain, see, and he's got a wife named Ethel. Ethel is a tree growing off of his shoulder. Billy is the mountain. The both of them live together in the middle of the Mojave Desert someplace in California. And they've been there for years. And all this time, people have come by and taken photographs of Billy and his wife, Ethel, and have made postcards out of them. Finally, one day, a man drives up and hands Billy the Mountain the check for all of his royalties for all of those years. And he turns to Ethel and his wife and says that they're going to go on a vacation. Ethel is, of course, delighted. And they take off across the United States, heading for New York. And as they do, they wreck most of it.
Yeah.
It was just outside of Columbus, Ohio, that Billy the Mountain received his notice to report for his induction physical. Billy the Mountain tore up his induction notice, and Ethel said she wouldn't let him go anywhere. The government found out that Billy the Mountain didn't want to join the army, and they were really pissed off about it. They were so pissed off that they sent a superhero to reason with the mountain, who had already destroyed most of the East Coast.
They didn't
certain important parts of western Pennsylvania. The name of the superhero that they sent to reason with the mountain was a fearless man named Studebaker Hawk. Okay, so we'll perform Billy the Mountain up to the point where Studebaker Hawk gets to talk with Billy. We won't tell you what the ending is. We're not going to perform the ending. That'll be delayed to a later time. We'll just take it up to Studebaker Hawk.
Thank you.
10. And there was a tree growing out of his shoulder. And he was a mountain. And there was a tree growing out of his shoulder. Two big keys for eyes with a clear foreshot of the golden down. And whenever it did, he'd pop up some dust. And here comes the closer. Now, one day, a man in a checkered suit drove up in a big Lincoln Continental and laid a huge bulging envelope at the corner of Billy the Mountain, right where his foot was supposed to be. Now Billy the Mountain couldn't believe it. All those postcards he'd posed for all those years, and finally now, at last, his royalties. Billy the Mountain was rich. His eyeball cage widened in amazement. His cliff, which was a jaw, dropped 30 feet. A bunch of dust puffed out. Rocks and boulders hacked up, crushing the Lincoln. Now, the man in the checkered suit, well, he went screaming off into the desert at sunset. All the way to Rosebud to tell everybody there, including Ronnie Cook, what had happened to his car.
I gave him the money. He acted real funny. He hocked up for
down. Billy the Mountain had already broken the big news to Ethel.
Ta-da!
With dust and boulders everywhere, Billy, choked with excitement, announced,
Ethel, we're going on a vacation.
Yes, and they were going on a vacation. Ethel, of course, was delighted. She creaked a little bit, and some old birds flew off of her. Billy told Ethel they were going to... They were going to New York!
Ethel, we're going to...
Pull a few handles and drink a few beers.
Oh,
across the Mojave Desert, their voices echoing through the canyons of your mind.
Ethel, wanna get a cup of coffee? There's a Howard Johnson. Wanna eat some clams?
The first noteworthy piece of real estate they destroyed was Edwards Air Force Base. And there's Johnson, Danner, Johnson, close alike. Speaking of reverent whispers about that fateful night, the test stand number one, and the rocket sled itself got launched by a famous mountain and his small wooden wife.
Goodbye to Las Vegas. Farewell to the lounges. We pulled a few handles. We drank a few beer. Chug-a-lug-a-lug. Guess that George Putnam should be on the air now with the biggest new story that has broken this year. George Putnam's biggest new
undeniably links this mountain and his wife to drug abuse and payoffs as part of a San Joaquin Valley smut ring. However, we can assure parents in the Southern California area that a recent narcotics crackdown in Torrance, Hawthorne, and Lomita will provide the secret evidence the Palmdale grand jury has needed to seek a criminal indictment and pave the way for stiffer legislation, increased federal aid, and avert a crippling strike of bartenders and veterinarians throughout the Inland Empire. And it is this reporter's opinion that Ethel is a former communist.
Within the week, Jerry Lewis had hosted a telethon.
La la la, nice lady.
To raise funds for the injured,
injured
and homeless.
Had just leveled it.
Hunting on, oh my papa.
In the earth's crust.
Right over the secret underground pools where they keep the
pools of old poison gas and obsolete germs.
Just as a freight tornado cruise through, sucking up two-thirds of it for untimely dispersal over vast stretches of
the Midwest.
Now, like I said before, it was just outside of Columbus, Ohio, when Billy got his induction notice to report. Now, Ethel said she wouldn't let him go.
I won't let you go, Billy.
And George Putnam said,
"Hang on, George." We now have confirmed reports from an informed Orange County minister that Ethel is still an active communist. It is this reporter's opinion that she also practices witchcraft.
And of course, it was about that time that the telephone rang and the secret briefcase belonging to the one mortal man who might be able to stop all of this senseless destruction and save America itself. Of course, this man was none other than the legendary Studebaker Hawk. And we'd like like to give you a few more details about this marvelous person and some of the secret reasons why the government would choose him to reason with a rampaging mountain.
Now, some men say he looked like Marshall Brevitz, which doesn't mean a hill of beans to any of you folks. Others say that he was born next to the frozen beef pies down at Bodie's Market in Claremont. Still others, hard-headed as they may be, maintain that he was just another crazy Italian who drove a red car. You see, nobody really knew for sure because he was so mysterious. Yes, sir!
son of a bitch!
Still maintain the fact. He was born next to the frozen beef pies. And that was the main influence on him.
Boldly springing into action, he phoned his wife, who ran a modeling school, whereupon he dashed around the back of the Kmart, got himself some big old cardboard boxes, after which he hit Ralph's Market, or the nearest thing to it, for some Kaiser broiler foil, some Aunt Jemima syrup, and a pair of blunt scissors. Yes, and in the parking lot of the Kmart, just between a pair of really nice-looking customized trucks where nobody was looking, he cut out some really nice wings out of the cardboard boxes and covered it thoroughly with foil. Foil!
Then he wedged one under each of his powerful arms and sneaked into the phone booth.
And then he pulled down his green denim button, bus driver pants, and he spread even amounts of Aunt Jemima syrup all over the inside of his legs and thighs.
Soon, the booth was filling with flies.
Help me!
He held open the legs of his boxer shorts so they could all get in.
And when all the little flies got inside his boxer shorts, he put his hand between his legs and he said in a clear, impressive voice,
New York!
And the booth and everything lifted up out of the parking lot and into the sky!
Every night, Studebaker Hawk teaches the flies a rhyme. Studebaker Hawk.